He's faithful right now, even as we come together trying to understand His ways for the new year. And I'll agree that the fire is here. The fire will consume that which needs to be burnt up. And that includes parts of me. I want you to bow your heads right now, and we're going to agree. Father, I ask that you would just anoint my voice and my tongue to speak what you would desire to speak to this house prayer right now. That they would be transformed into what you want for this new year. In Jesus' precious name I pray. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, Jeremiah and I can relate sometimes because he's called the weeping prophet. And I've had a few bouts with tears. Can anybody relate? Okay. New Year's, believe it or not, was definitely a very sweet time, but sometimes holidays and times of testings come. And when they come, they also bring memory, and memory can bring pain and sorrow and sadness. But I believe I heard from the Lord on January 1st, and this is the scripture that He was giving me for 2009. And there was a particular section that really jumped out at me. There are several sections that I believe will jump out at you as well. But the one that really pushed hard was the word restoration. And it happens in verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim's moaning. You discipline me like an unruly calf, and I have been disciplined. How many know calves can get into mischief? Okay? Restore me and I will return, because you are the Lord my God. After I strayed, I repented. After I came to understand, I beat my breast. I was ashamed and humiliated because I bore the disgrace of my youth. And it goes on. Now, verse 21 said, set up road signs and put up guideposts. Take note of the highway, the road that you take. Return, O virgin Israel, return to your own or to your towns. How long will you wander, O unfaithful daughter? The Lord will create a new thing on earth. A woman will surround a man. A woman will surround a man. Now, the very first times I read that, I didn't understand. But it really is speaking about the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is His corporate people. His men and women that are anointed of the Lord to change us. And if we are surrounding the man Christ Jesus, we will be changed. If we corporately understand that as we come to Him, it's not for us to be satisfied with a Santa Claus type God. How many know what I'm talking about? Many people have a mindset of God being there to satisfy their every whim. And to give them whatever they pray for, whenever they ask for it, in Jesus' name. That Santa Claus God, for me, died many years ago, when God allowed me to suffer for a season. And that suffering was actually the fire of God coming into me to change me, which was the whole purpose of being saved. I can remember when my wife and I were divided. And she was living in one house and I was living somewhere else. And I can remember being so pressed of God and saying, God, I want you to restore my marriage. And I heard loud and clear inside my heart this small voice say, you don't want that. You don't want restoration. Because to restore means to put back what you had. Do you really want what you had? And I said, God, you're absolutely right. I don't want what I had. What I had fell apart. Why did it fall apart? Because she was selfish and I was selfish. Guess who were to blame? It wasn't God, it was us. Two selfish people trying to get along, and it didn't work. Women surrounding a man. What does that mean? The corporate body of Christ surrounding Jesus and looking to Him for the answer. Not looking to each other to be satisfied, because guess what? Your wife or your husband will fail you. Your children will fail. They'll walk away. They'll do their own thing. Because why? They've had an example of selfishness. Guess who the example was? I was. And my wife was. Did we see it? Absolutely not. Why? Because we had this mindset, this attitude. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, you have mindsets inside of you that are not of God. And I said, God, if I don't have restoration, what do I pray for? He said, why don't you pray for me to create what I want from you both? Oh, this is back to your will again, God? I don't think I like it. And you know what? I voiced it. I literally voiced it because I was so disappointed. I wasn't disappointed in me. I was disappointed in my wife. Amen. When I'm disappointed, what is it that God wants me to do? He wants me to lay it down and let it go and let Him create in me what I need. So I began to understand, let your will be done in my marriage. Let you recreate what you want. And as he began to recreate what he wanted, he was getting rid of the selfishness in me. I have a book on my shelf at home, and it's called The Kingdom of Self. And how many people worship at that altar? Wow, you say, what do you mean a kingdom of self? It's called a kingdom of selfishness. And we go to that altar to satisfy ourselves and satisfy our lust. Whatever lust happens to be. Some of us get filled at the refrigerator. Some of us get filled in front of the TV. Some of us get filled in front of a book. Some of us go to different places for selfishness. You understand where I'm coming from? And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to tell you who we are. We're human. And God is trying to make us godly. He's trying to bring heaven down inside of us. Look at your neighbor. Say, God is trying to invest Himself in you. And to restore what He planned from the beginning. To have a holy people. That we're satisfied only in Christ Jesus. And you're part of the body of Christ. So I need you. And we need each other. That's the support system that works. You know, there were times during that season that I couldn't comprehend what God was doing. But God was telling me, look, when you were first married, within a 1 year and 6 months, we lost our home to a fire. My wife was 8 months pregnant. She had to come out and down a ladder from the second floor in order for us not to be roasted. And I mean literal. God saved us then. Now, was it pleasant to go through that? No. But you know what? We survived. And every time somebody had a fire in the local area, we were immediately remembering all the wonderful people that came to our aid during that hard time. And we always had a heart for those who would go through a fire and would lose everything. That was our beginning. Our son came a month later. And there was hardships, but you know what? We made it. There was hardships in that season, but they were nothing compared to the hardship of being separated. That was horrible. And I would never want that unless it's God's plan for anybody. But I can tell you this. We were unfaithful to the Lord. And God wanted more in us. So in order to get rid of the old, He had to bring the fire in. And we got new from that fire. We got changed by the fire of God. Verse 22. How long will you wander, O unfaithful daughter? The Lord will create a new thing on earth. A woman will surround a man. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. When I bring them back, notice it's not they bringing themselves back. When I bring them back from captivity, meaning they couldn't change anything because they were captivated, the people in the land of Judah, which is the land of praise, because the word Judah means praise, and in its towns, will once again use these words. The Lord bless you, O righteous dwelling. O sacred mountains, people will live together in Judah, praise, and all its towns, farmers and those who move about with their flocks, and I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Notice who's going to refresh them. I will, meaning God is telling him, wait a minute, Jeremiah, it's not you that's going to refresh them, I will refresh them. And those of you who are weary, you'll be satisfied, and you won't faint. At this I awoke and looked around. What? You mean this is a dream? Yes! He's got a vision in the middle of the night. That's called dreams. My sleep had been pleasant to me. Verse 27 tells you a little bit about the day we are living in. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will plant the house of Israel and the house of Judah with offsprings of men and of animals, just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down and to overthrow, destroy and bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. How many have already tasted the uprooting, the tearing down, the overthrow, the destruction, and the disaster? How many of you have tasted that? Put your hand up. I want you to see yourselves. Okay, so what's after all that? So I will watch over them to build, to plant, and to declare the Lord. Okay? To build and to plant. What does that mean? It means something brand new. Something that you've never had before. The seeds may be in you. But you know what? The seed doesn't look anything like its plant. Does it? To build means something brand new, something that's not been there before. In those days, people will no longer say the fathers have eaten sour grapes. How many have ever had a father that was a little upset with you? And he was really sour. Gary, you can put your hand up. I'll forgive you. Okay? And the children's teeth are set on edge, meaning they don't know what to do and they're full of anger and resentment because Dad just abused me. Now, I don't mean physical, and it can be mental. It can be emotional. Amen? Okay, so understand that, okay? The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Say a new covenant, a new agreement. Amen? With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, both. I will not be like the, it will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them from the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. So in other words, see, the relationship between God the Father and Israel was a husband and wife relationship. I could take you to the word where it says he divorced them. Okay, so God understands divorce. But verse 33 says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. Now, that means a later date, which I believe is the time he's trying to tell us that we're living in. I will put my laws in their minds. Whoa. What does that mean? I will put my laws of love in their mind. In other words, what you normally would retaliate when someone tries to hurt you, the new law of love will come in and say, why don't you pray for that one? Because they're so irritated today. They need somebody to intercede. That wouldn't be your normal mind. The normal mind would say, get them out of my sight. I've got enough troubles of my own. Amen? Okay. But the mind of Christ would say, wait a minute. They're in trouble. They're hurting more than me. And you see, I began to understand that my wife was hurting more than I was. That I began to walk in her shoes emotionally. And I said, oh my God. I'm not the one that should be feeling sorry for myself. I should definitely understand she's going through something that she doesn't understand. And she didn't. And I didn't. So the hardships that you go through, they're intended to awaken in you, to call in the fire of God, to take out the old mindsets, and to bring in the what? The mind of Christ. Now, the next level is write it on their hearts. What does that mean, to write it on my heart? It means I'm not going to act and react emotionally and spiritually like I used to. There's a transfer of my way of responding to God's way of responding. Which God's way of responding is what? Constant mercy, constant love, even if they don't deserve it. Amen? Then it says, I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. Wow. Knowledge of him is going to be universal. It's going to be from coast to coast, nation to nation. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Woo-hoo! What a day that's going to be. Can you imagine not remembering the sins that were done against you? Can you have any concept of what it's going to be like, that every offense that you ever received from your spouse, from your child, from your mom, from your dad, from your great aunt that was just a pain in the butt? Get a clue. You're not going to have a memory of it. What kind of a person are you going to be with all those memories gone? Because you know what? Those memories teach you how to respond. Well, they did that to me. I'll do double to them. After all, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yes or no? How many have lived in that lifestyle? Put your hand up right now. How many have lived in that? But that's not where you're going to live in the future. The kingdom of God is coming alive in you now. Not next year. Now. And I am screaming. Because it's important that you get a clue. If he, meaning God, will forgive all of our wickedness, what's wrong with you forgiving the wickedness that's been done against you? Get a clue. The pattern is clear. I will remember their sins no more. If you take a choice in your own heart to forgive those who have offended you, those offenses will start losing their power. And your attitude will change. Your mindsets will change. And you're going to be a new creation. The old will pass away. It will just literally disintegrate. Isn't that going to be a good news? Yes. Watch now, verse 35. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the seas so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is His name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. You know, when that was written, Israel was a reality. And then in 70 A.D., Israel was completely devastated. Jesus even predicted there would not be a stone left upon a stone. And I could take you to the scripture and show you that, but that's not the focus. The focus is that He would definitely rebuild what wasn't capable of being done by anybody but God. Okay? Watch now. Verse 37, this is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of all they have done, declares the Lord. The days are coming. Say, the days are here.
Amen.
See, now it's a different day because that was written for us. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when this city will be rebuilt from me, for me, from the Tower of Hananel to the corner gate. How many know that it started to be reestablished and be rebuilt in 1948? In the natural sense, Israel came alive in 1948. It took World War II to change the hearts of men in order to set a place for His people. And that's a history that I lived through. The measuring line will stretch, verse 39, from there straight to the hills of Gareb, and then turn to Goash. The whole valley where dead bodies and ashes are thrown, and all the terraces out of the Kindron Valley, on the east as far as the corner of the Horse Gate, will be holy to the Lord. Will be holy. Was it holy then? No. The city will never again be uprooted or demolished. So even if those that are in Gaza are pushing their little efforts to try to destroy what God has recreated, it will not happen. Why? Because God's on the job and He's got His angels surrounding that city. Yes, there might be a few skirmishes, but don't be worried about the news. God has given you the good news. Isn't that what we're all about? Okay. Now, the city will never again be uprooted or demolished. How does that relate to you, me and you? How does everything that happened and all of the upsets that you've had in your heart get transformed when you decide to give up your will and let His will be done? When you decide to give up your right to be right and let God change your heart. And only when you begin to really comprehend that God's plan for your family, your marriage, your relationships is greater than your plan, will you begin to have that peace that surpasses understanding in your heart. So would you bow your heads, please? Father God, my heart for 2009 is that the new wine will change them, that they will be reestablished with a covenant with You, to know that Your plan is to really transform them from what they were to what they need to become. Everything they've seen about the hurts within themselves, the pain and the hurt of the wickedness that was done to them, the difficulties, the trials, the hardships of all types that have taken place, you, by your Spirit and by your angelic assistance, can transform them. And I ask, Father, for the grace that they need to be transformed and the willingness to lay down their anger and to lay down their pain and let it be melted by the fire of God's Holy Spirit. And not only for these that are listening here, but those that are going to hear this word over the internet. And we ask for special grace for every one of them. No matter where they're coming from, that God's Holy Spirit in 2009 would recreate their wineskin so that they can take in the new wine. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You know, my heart is to see what God wants to recreate. And I mean recreation. Not what you had, but greater, better, stronger, more like Jesus than ever before. Traveling mercies for you guys to go home. Share some love with one another and Happy New Year.